Well, Merry Christmas. I must admit to you that I'm a little nervous. Okay? You have to understand. Let me tell you my side of the story, okay? I was on my way home from a half day of work. And then I saw, bing, Kyle and Pastor Christmas service. I'm like, oh, okay, Kyle wants to share something. Then the message came out. Apparently the family member was COVID positive. I had to stop the car, turn left, keep left, and I'm like, oh dear, what's going to happen? In the few minutes, Elder Brian gave me a phone call, and he asked me, Mark, could you please share the message? And he knows this, he heard it, and I went, okay. So, grabbing for help, I prayed the Lord in the car for a good 15 minutes, and then Kyle sent a message saying, Mark, I heard you're the one sharing the message today. Let me know if there's anything I can do for you. Let me pray for you. Now, at the back of my head, you have to understand, as a pastor and as theologians, we always have a Bible passage at the back of our heads. And we always have this question at the back of our heads. If, Lord forbid, but yet he allowed it, if I had to give a Christmas message at the cuff one day, what would it be? And I thought, you know what, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 23 sounds good. It's a very less spoken about passage. And sure enough, I asked, you know, Dr. Kyle, if I can ask a favor, if you have any notes to spare, I would like to see what is the big message that you had in mind for our congregation so that prayerfully I may intercede that the Holy Spirit may affirm what he would like to speak to us today. And so he sent me his 11 pages of notes. Old Testament professor, what do you expect, right? But thanks be to God, the first line on top there, it says, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. I say this only in testimony of one thing. Whether it be me or Kyle, it is times like this that we remember that we are merely vessels and that he speaks. We worship the Lord God who speaks. And I pray that through his mighty spirit, he may speak to us this Christmas day. So without further ado, let's come to the Lord in prayer that he may speak to us this morning. Almighty God, we come before you, setting aside all our worries and troubles to take a moment to realize that you are the reason for the season today. That you are the source of all joy and hope in this time of challenges. And instead of a great entrance where we may come in fear and trembling, you come to us with grace and mercy by being born as a baby in a manger. Lord, we want to give you praise because as you have arrived, the angels who have heard on high, they sing Gloria in excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace on whom his favor rests. Father, we thank you that your favor is rested upon us today. Father, we ask the Lord that as we remember Kyle and his family, as they have to celebrate at home, Father, I pray that the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard their hearts and minds in your Son, Jesus. Pray, Lord, for healing. You are our Lord, our healer, to the family, protection, especially to the children who have yet to be vaccinated. We ask the Lord for your double covering upon them. So, Lord, as we celebrate this Christmas message, O Lord, it's time for your birthday speech. And we ask the Lord that your Spirit speaks to us this morning. And now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you, O Lord my God, my rock, my Savior and Redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 24. It just so happens that a few weeks ago, on I think it was December the 5th, I was preaching through the genealogy of Jesus. And if you remember, like all good church members would, you remember your pastor's sermons. You remember that what I mentioned about Jesus, that he is real, that he's royal, he remembers, and he redeems. Now we come to where the rubber meets the road, the reality of God walking on earth, the regalness of God waiting to come in. And although he came in very humble means, we cannot help but realize his royal majesty. And the fact that he came here not just for any other purpose, but with a reason to redeem. He remembers us and our needs. And now he comes to begin the redemption. So Matthew continues that theme onwards. Let me read it to you in full, and then we will get into this word together. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 24. He says, "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet: 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded and took Mary home as his wife." This is the word of the Lord. We see the grand disclaimer and the proposal that Matthew will continue to suggest throughout the entire book of Matthew. For those of you who are taking Bible study fellowship, I pray that you will see this because you're going through a season of Matthew. He says, this is the account of the birth of Jesus, the Messiah. So he is claiming that Jesus is Savior. But this Jesus is to be born. And it will be in a very interesting circumstance. It will be in an unexpected situation. Before we get to that, let's first ask ourselves, what is usually expected in a marriage or in a wedding proposal turning to a marriage? Here we see a lovely couple. They have already been engaged to be married, which, by the way, when in those days, when they're engaged, they're not called fiancé, they're not called husband-to-be and wife-to-be. No, there's no doubt about it. From the proposal to the agreement, prior to the wedding ceremony, they are husband and wife. How much has changed in today's modern way of dating? But let's just accept the historical fact and the historical tradition here that Joseph and Mary were considered husband and wife even though they had yet to come together to marry. And so what happens is this. Joseph and Mary, upon the agreement that they are to be married, they will take some time apart to prepare for the wedding. And after a few months, they will come together, they will have the ceremony, they will get married, and after a while, have children. That is what is expected. That is what is normative. That is what we see day to day at wedding blessings. But the unexpected happened. That before Joseph and Mary met. So Joseph is vindicated. He is not part of the equation. Okay, both to confirm his innocence, but also to highlight the scandal. Because Joseph was not with Mary, yet she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now let me pause here for a moment. If we were to see, because we Christians, we take it for granted that, yes, you know, Mary was pregnant through the Holy Spirit. But can you imagine poor Joseph's, what's going through poor Joseph's mind? They have not met for 3 months, they were engaged to be married, and then suddenly, poof, uh-oh, Mary's pregnant. What is the usual expected equation? Mary had an affair. David Hume, the great logician and skeptic, an atheist, did not believe in God. He only believed in mathematics. And he asked this question, which is easier to believe? That the laws of biology and the laws of all reality were suspended, or maybe a woman told a lie? Now, with great respect to David Hume, I'm afraid he did not exhaust all the possibilities. It's hard for a woman to tell a lie, especially when the lie spans 33 years and now 2,021 years. Lies die. Lies are found out later, because there will be a time when the story does not meet. What is easier is what Joseph had in mind. That Joseph, being a righteous man who obeys the law, but did not want to put Mary in a situation where normally in those days, if someone is caught having an adultery, I'm afraid the woman is stoned. But Joseph, being a righteous person, he said, no, let's divorce quietly. That will be the easier thing. David Hume did not think of this. David Hume could have just said, yeah, you know what? What could have happened? Joseph just could have divorced. That is the easiest solution. There's the usual expected solution. In fact, the divorce laws today allows this separation still to occur. That if a child was born because born out of wedlock, or if there was an affair, there will be cause for divorce. Joseph was doing the expected, but something unexpected occurred. An angel of the Lord came and spoke to him in a dream and said, Joseph, do not be afraid. Take Mary as your wife, because what is in her is from the Holy Spirit. And you, when he is born, you shall give him the name Jesus. The unexpected happened in two levels. One was the pregnancy, and the other one was the vision. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, has anything unexpected happened to you before? And if yes, how did you respond? I can think of many examples that we all collectively have experienced before. College students were planning to go to campus and have a full campus experience in 2020, only for that to be taken away from them. Classes are now online. And yet you're still paying the full price as if you're in campus. I mean, where's the fairness in that? But never mind, I digress. Something unexpected happened. We had to respond. I want to also be sensitive to the newcomers who are here. And I wonder if this is you, that you had found Pantai Baptist Church to be here, and you had to come here because perhaps your church was affected by the floods in the past few days. To you, I say to you, welcome. Different building, but I pray that we as a church rise to the occasion and be a family together. Has anything unexpected happened to you? And how did you respond? And sometimes in that unexpected occasion, you may think, oh, thank God we were able to deviate, or we'll be able to avoid it, or we were able to overcome it. But then there'll be some times in our lives where we feel regret. If only I did it differently. If only I could do things differently. And of course, many of our friends today in our neighborhoods near and far in the Klang Valley, they thought they were going to a Christmas haul for Christmas today. But unfortunately, there's about a foot of mud in the hall. The unexpected happened. Now, how should we respond? We can respond either the normal way, and if it was the normal way, the story would have ended. I have no more New Testament to tell you. Joseph could have just had the divorce and then the story ended right there and then. But because of his observation and realization that God has something planned, he responded differently. Now, of course, we have to ask the question, what did God plan through Jesus? Matthew gives us this answer. He says, the angel said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So that means God is doing something. Let me give you this encouragement. And I know it may be hard to believe, but behind every unexpected event comes an unexpected opportunity for God to intervene. When the floods happened in Klang Valley, that was unexpected, especially in Klang Valley. But what was even more unexpected was that the people of Malaysia, the churches, gurdwaras, the mosques, the temples, unexpectedly come together so that we may help our own bangsa, Malaysia, from an unexpected event to an unexpected opportunity. And the fruition is we see that God is uniting people together. And so the angel of the Lord is telling Joseph, this is unexpected, Joseph. I understand that. She's pregnant through the Holy Spirit. But now I'm asking you to look at this as an unexpected opportunity. Because what is happening with Mary and the son and the baby is an act of God. And now, Joseph, I invite you to participate. How? Of course, being the father on earth. But he was actually a lot more specific. The angel said, she will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, for verse 21, you have to understand, the big deal about verse 21 is not the name Jesus. Jesus is a common name in the Old Testament. Joshua, Hosea, Isaiah, is all Jesus. It's a common name. It's kind of like John. For John, you have Ivan, Jan, Sean, and of course John and Ian. All same, John. So to say that, oh, Jesus, oh, what a magnificent name. Actually, it's a common name. It means the Lord is salvation, meaning God is doing something. So every time when a boy is born and they name the boy Jesus, they are reminded that God has always saved and God will continue to save. You have to understand, they had the Old Testament mind. What happened in the Old Testament? The Lord was their salvation. God saved them from Egypt, from slavery. God saved them when they were banished in Babylon. God saved them when they were having wars. God saved them when they were occupied by foreigners, and God will continue to save them. So to name a son Jesus or Joshua or Isaiah or Hosea is to remember what the Lord has done. So the interesting part of this verse is not the name Jesus, but the second half of the line, the reason why we call him Jesus. You shall call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Whoa, wait a minute. The Lord is salvation. Normally we think God will do something from the mist and the far. But this is the first time we see God coming down and say he will save him. He himself will save on this earth. What a magnificent sight. What a magnificent thought. Then it makes sense, why is it that Jesus has two names? One is Jesus, another one is Emmanuel. Because if he is Jesus, but the angel said he himself, the Lord says, that means the Lord Jesus will save and work among us. It then makes sense from the prophet Isaiah that he shall be called Emmanuel. How would you respond to this news? It is a great sadness that I remember in the news of a boy who had died because of a mudslide in Bentong. You might have heard of that part in the news, and if some of you are in Christian WhatsApp circles, you might have known the other half of the story. Just in case, let me share. A neighboring church was having a retreat in that area. As they were out and about, the landslide happened, and the boy was just at the cusp there, where the land moved under him, and he was taken with the soil. At a Christian leader's retreat, they found the body 2 days later. And to add the irony of ironies, guess what his name is? Emmanuel. We can pause for a moment and say, oh, what an irony, a boy like named Emmanuel, and he was taken away before Christmas. But I'm thankful, knowing the couple, familiar with them, they have mentioned before that Emmanuel has gone with the Lord, but the name Emmanuel still remains because he is with us. That is how he responded. He said, Emmanuel is still real. God, therefore, is more with us, with the family, than ever before. How would we respond if it was our situation? Could we respond the same way? How could we? Well, let me give you some help in understanding how we can grasp that strength to respond just the same as we celebrate Christmas today. We look at verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and will give birth to the son. They will call him Emmanuel. This verse here reminds us that God had come to give this unexpected hope. But the reason for this unexpected hope is still very much promised by God. There are countless verses in the Old Testament which point to this day in Bethlehem. I can give you some examples. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it was a prophecy that God's Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. Very specific, Bethlehem, nowhere else. On top of that, Isaiah 53 prophesies that God's Messiah would suffer for sin, die, and rise again. Very specific. Isaiah chapter 9 prophesied that Jesus' ministry would begin in Galilee. Psalm 22 prophesied that Jesus would be pierced. Zechariah 11 prophesied that he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Some mathematicians had put this together and asked, what is the probability of a random person to be able to fulfill the messianic prophecies in the Old Testament and therefore be called the Messiah? If it was random, it would be easier for you to strike 4D, to strike Toto, the lottery, every week jackpot for 150 years. It's still easier than the Messiah. So I'm sorry when I hear people to say that, oh, you know, Jesus randomly came about and they say, I am the Messiah. No! There were tests. There was proof. There is evidence. And that's why our response must be very real as he is alive today. That he had come to save. Let me take a step back to verse 21. That his name shall be called Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That is where the unexpected hope is. Because in the Old Testament, we are told by law, in order for the people to be saved, they must do sacrifices, they must obey the law, they must abstain certain dietary laws, they must follow certain ceremonies. Only then if, and only if, maybe, near perfect, they might enter heaven. But this is not the same. The unexpected hope is this, that Jesus had come to fulfill and save all his people. God himself decided to help us, that we may draw back to him. And that is the unexpected hope. For those of you who are considering Christianity for the first time, let me offer you this one unique suggestion. With regards to Christianity, we are the only faith that salvation is given as a free gift of God. Wherever you come from, whatever background you are from, whatever history that you have, wherever you have been, let me give you this encouragement today, that rather than going, kneeling before God and say, God, help me, maybe you could help me, you could save me. No. You may come to this place today and receive the fullness of God and His salvation work just by believing. Now for you to respond. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. He did the unexpected response. And that response very much gave him the privilege of being then called the earthly father of the Messiah, to be able to witness and see Jesus grow up, to be in fear and sadness and sorrow as he was crucified on the cross, but then to be filled with joy again because he is risen. All this is to say that our reason to celebrate Christmas today requires us to respond with our hearts, with our lives, to the reality of the Lord Jesus. Some cultural applications when it comes to Christmas. Do you know why we give presents in Christmas? We don't do that for king's birthdays, right? The young Diputan Agong has a birthday. He gives us a public holiday. Daulat Tuanku, thank you very much. All right? For people's birthdays, we give presents to the birthday boy, right? But for Christmas, where it is Jesus' birthday, we give gifts to other people. Why is that? It's because Jesus is the unexpected king, where he does things differently. That rather than his citizens pay homage to him, he gave himself as a gift. That's why it doesn't matter what day you are born, how many grades you have in your SPM or your final exams. On Christmas Day, you're given a gift. It's not a reward. It's a gift because it reminds us that Jesus gave us what we do not deserve, and that's why he is the gift of grace. Why is it that when during Christmas time we have feasts, but rather than coming to church and do that, although that would be awesome, we do have a Christmas party, but Christmas has always been traditionally celebrated at home. Why is that? Well, it's because, first of all, it's logistics, and it's also because God did not come to be born in a hall, in a castle, in a palace. He came in humble origins. He was born in a simple home. And so celebrating Christmas in our homes and in our neighborhoods is actually a display that God truly is Emmanuel, with us, with the neighborhood. And for us as Christians, what is it then we should do during Christmas time? Not only do we live the life as according to the theme that Jesus that we are given to in PBC this year, but this is also the springboard to next year, which is to share the life, share the hope that you have in Christ today. That's why we have this church Christmas celebration. It's not for him, it's for you to have the opportunity to respond to him today. Joseph responded to the spirit, to the angel. Joseph responded to God in that way. I pray that you will respond to God today by recognizing that Christmas is not just a day for sweets and candy and parties and presents, but Christmas is also a day for you to realize that you must be born again in the Lord Jesus. I pray that you will make that decision today. And for those of us who have been Christians since the day the earth was young, I pray that you will reinvigorate yourself and ask yourself this question: will you do something unexpected this Christmas season? Here will be my suggestion as a Church of Jesus Christ and Pantai Baptist Church. I pray that we will carry this Christmas spirit in helping our neighbors, especially those affected by the floods, help them clean their houses so that way they may celebrate the new year with a new hope. Let that be a testimony for each and every one of us to say that Jesus has given us a new life, clean slate, from the day that he was born. Church, I pray that we will move, and for those who are considering or seeking the Lord, I pray that this Christmas day will be the day that you approach him yourself. Let us pray. Father God, we give you praise. Today, Lord, we celebrate the unexpected arrival of our Lord and Savior. That he arrived unexpectedly, not in Jerusalem, the great city of kings, but in Bethlehem, a small, humble town where King David was born. And now you, O Lord, came to the earth for us. We thank you, O Lord, that you did not come already as a full-grown adult with great might and power and giving up judgment to the judgment to those who have sinned against you, which is everyone. But you came in a humble presentation of hope. You came as a baby in a manger. Thank you, O Lord, you are the unexpected king. Where kings of old demand tributes to be given unto them, you, O King, became the gift for each and every one of us. So, Father, I pray today for those who have yet to know you, may they receive your gift of eternal life through your Son, Jesus, by believing in you, that they may, and by believing in you, they may have eternal life. For us as the Church of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that we will be the unexpected vessel of hope, that we will reach out unto others and help them realize that the hope that will last forever is not in the hands of men, but in the hands of God who is with us. Father, I pray that we celebrate your arrival, your sacrifice, your resurrection, and your future coming again. We await for that blessed day, O Lord. And in the meantime, teach us to be your great ambassadors for your unexpected hope. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.